All right, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Branding Brews. I am your host, Ryan Wheaton, owner of Craft Brew Creative, a branding and design studio focused on the beer market. Back for another episode. It's kind of nice to get a break from the day-to-day work and all this chaos. And I'm joined today by Holly Amlin. She's also known by the PDX Beer Girl, and she is a Portland, Oregon-based beer writer, marketer, and social media influencer. Holly's aim is to make beer more accessible to the everyday craft drinker, and especially to women. Holly, thanks for taking some time to chat with me today. I appreciate it. How are you doing?
Good. How are you, Ryan? Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Doing pretty well. Thank you. Well, cool. We're going to be talking marketing stuff today. But first, why don't we kind of just get a little background about who you are and how you kind of got to where you are now?
Yeah, sure. What an exciting time to be alive, right?
Yeah.
Yes, like you mentioned, I have most recently been doing PDX Beer Girl, which is a beer blog and an Instagram that kind of took off a few years ago. But before that, I went to school for graphic design and worked as a graphic designer for 6 or 7 years before starting my own business doing marketing for breweries specifically, which was a really fun transition. I started pretty small. Just kind of figuring out the industry, and had a blast kind of learning everything, really. What's really nice about marketing as a profession is that you can apply it to just about any industry. So all the things that I had learned in school at my jobs working at an agency or in-house, I could apply them to the beer industry pretty easily. But the beer industry itself is something I had to learn. So getting into an industry that you aren't familiar with anyone, I don't know if you've experienced that before, but it takes a lot of work. It's a lot of networking, a lot of putting yourself out there, a lot of begging people to get on their media lists.
Yeah.
But I did it. So I definitely came out of it with a lot of friends, a lot of fun experiences, I guess you could say. But in general, I've just been really happy to continue doing marketing and kind of expand the things that I am good at, you know, not to brag, but it's been nice to add to the toolbox over time. And the beer industry has been a great place to do that. Everyone is super friendly.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Feeling like that's quite the general overview of 10 years of a career, but that's kind of what it boils down to now, I guess.
Right. Well, I've definitely been aware of you through your social media presence, and I think you do a great job at that. You're definitely out and about in town doing your thing and promoting a lot of, you know, breweries around here or just in Oregon, and you're doing a great job of making it being a very approachable and enjoyable. And so, yeah, you definitely, I think, built some kind of status there, which we'll for sure get into more. So,
Thank you for noticing.
Yeah, totally. Well, cool. So I think, some of the stuff we were going to talk about today, basically just going into kind of the ins and outs of having an in-house person doing marketing for you versus hiring out. So maybe hiring out like a, independent kind of freelancer or hiring an agency. And you have experience in all those areas and stuff. So
I do. Yes, I do.
So, let's just run into it. I know you kind of had a bit of an outline that I'll let you kind of go through and we'll just kind of have a conversation. How about in-house marketing and, what your experiences with the pros and cons there?
Sure. With my general background, I've worked for other companies, you know, working for myself has allowed me to go and kind of work freelance style for people. So yes, I have experience through the spectrum of different job types through marketing. And I wanted to talk today specifically about working in-house for breweries, since, you know, that's kind of the topic that you you go for. My outline is basically just kind of talking about some general notes about working in-house or hiring people out, and then kind of going over what kinds of people you could look for within that. So in-house is kind of obvious, where you are not working with an agency, you're working with an individual that you hire to work for you, and that can either be part-time or full-time. And in general, I would say having someone that is there every day is awesome. I would say that's the ideal, especially for a company that's larger. You really want somebody on the floor every day. But kind of one of the biggest pros for having someone in-house is that you have more visibility just across the board. So in my line of work, where I develop a lot of content, having that visibility into opportunities is really, really important. Because a lot of time you're posting something every day. And as a fellow creative, I bet you can relate to the fact that sometimes the creative juices aren't flowing.
Yeah.
So yeah. It's hard to continue to be creative, but if you're there every day and you understand the people that are there, if you understand the business a little better, I think that's a huge leg up and it makes your job a lot easier. For example, like having close relationships with the business owners or the staff, management, front of house, back of house, I think that's super important. I think you can get a really cool perspective on the brewery from all of those angles. And most of the people that work for breweries really love their job. I have met very few that dislike their job. And so they're all really happy to tell you all sorts of fun things about how they go about their day. And that's not just brewers, which those guys are fun to talk to. They're super nerdy and geeky, but I would say, you know, as a general marketing thing, you're a problem solver. And to understand everything that goes on in the business is really helpful for solving those problems. So when you're there every day, you can see the pain points and potentially help with these marketing initiatives that you plan. I know bad things happen, PR moments are needed, but celebrating those good moments is really where the beer industry kind of thrives, I think. You know, beer, people happy. I think that's kind of an easy correlation. But it's the little simple things that keep people invested in your brand. Like, oh, we got brewery equipment delivered today. We're putting in a silo. We have a new brewer, meet this new person. Or like something that happened to me when I was working at Vagabond. They had an airplane in the building and the Air Force had to come by one day. That was such a funny thing that happened.
Oh, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, I guess the emergency transponder wasn't turned off in the plane, and every plane that flew over the building in Southeast Portland was alerted to the fact that there may have been a downed plane.
That is amazing.
So we were getting a lot of confused people, and eventually the Air Force came. They located where it was coming from.
In like the middle of a city, basically.
In the middle of the city, yeah. And they took out the box, they turned it off, and we all had a good laugh. But those are the things that you want to be there for. And sometimes you don't know when that stuff's going to happen. So,
yeah. So that's definitely a huge benefit of being there all the time, being in-house.
Yes. Yeah. You get to see the life that happens every day within the brewery.
Yeah. So. And I think social media these days too, I think it's so nice in that some ways, you know, like with Instagram stories or some of those more quick paced ones, it's more of just seeing those inside things and not necessarily this like highly polished where every post is, you know, like it's people just want to know your personality and know what's going on in the day to day. So that's great.
Totally. Yeah. Cause people relate to people. And if you can see how someone lives their life and how they have fun, they're more apt to love you. You know, I follow brands on my personal accounts that I absolutely love, and that's probably why, because they show their personality in a really authentic way.
Yeah.
So, cool. Yeah. I say also generally working in-house, you can see like the benefits or the negatives of what you're working on, and you can make adjustments really quickly. And I've noticed that especially with social media content, you know, you've got lots of analytics right there in front of you. And if you're sitting there in the brewery and you post something and someone walks in and they say, "Hey, I just saw your post. I really want to drink this now." You can say, "Awesome, that works." But flip side, you can see when things kind of fall flat. So here, there was just one other thing I thought of with working in-house is that you as a marketer are in charge of a lot of different kinds of relationships. Your communication with the public is especially important, and that comes in lots of different forms. And all the things that I've just said about understanding the business and the people who work there, having to manage those relationships is so much easier just in general if you're there every day.
Yeah, right. There is so much personality, you know, or to marketing. I mean, it's kind of like networking, right? I mean, those kind of relationships you establish with other brands or with other people and customers and just vendors and all that, that all extends your brand and your marketing out beyond. So that personality that you could bring, you know, as opposed to an external PR person or an external agency, totally makes sense.
As someone who gets press releases with beer release information, beer events, if I don't know the person, I often will kind of ignore it. But if it's from someone that I've had interactions with that is super friendly and nice and I understand where they're coming from, I will read that and I will support them. It goes a long way.
Yeah.
So yeah, being the face of the company, I guess, is a whole nother facet to working in-house for a brewery specifically, because you get thrown a lot of different kinds of projects.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. And then I think we're about to get to this, but I think it'd be interesting to talk about what kind of people work well inside of a brewery staff, like team, for marketing stuff. So what have you seen, like people like hiring within, and like what kind of people like have that marketing experience, and if they've worked in other industries or just coming into like work as marketing, what are your experiences there with different various breweries?
Well, I've seen quite a few different things play out, and I'd say the least successful overall is hiring someone that already works for you who has no marketing background.
So least successful?
Least successful, yes.
Yeah, okay.
But it is the cheapest option, and a lot of people do it. But I would say it's maybe not necessarily bad, but you're shooting yourself in the foot for various reasons. And it's time constraints are probably the biggest thing, aside from someone not having strategy experience. Oftentimes I've seen breweries hire someone who works front of house, and this person might understand social media really well. They might know how to take good pictures, post good stories. But the strategy thing is really huge there. And they're also juggling two different jobs. So most of the time, they're still expected to work their front of the house job.
Right.
So someone with no marketing experience is likely going to just do whatever the ownership tells them to do. Set expectations with them in a certain way of, hey, we need you to post about beer releases, but make sure you balance this with the other job. And that gives you very little time to actually strategize your content, I would say. You're most of the time just doing it on the fly. And that, it can go well. It can be okay, but it's harder to kind of tell your brand story when you're just firing off whatever random content comes to your mind.
Mm.
I don't know if you've had experience with that, just like reactionary versus planned content.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I think I've seen breweries that have, sometimes you just look at their stuff and it's just kind of all over the place. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think when you see a brewery that's focused on certain things, you see that kind of surfacing through their communications through social or whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I almost feel bad for someone that gets hired from within because they might be really excited about doing this job, but the pressure that's then put on them to have a certain voice, to maintain a certain level of quality, it gets really difficult. And so that's why I say that that's not really the best option. That's not recommended.
Yeah. I guess one other thing I can think of too is that they may think they want to be a marketing person, you know, and trying to put somebody in a position or a box they don't really fit in very well, that, you know, even if they think they may want to, sometimes you just learn that you don't. And then they might just kind of start phoning it in and start doing a crummy job just because they don't want to like tell you. Maybe they even got a little bit of a raise. They're like, well, I want to keep this money, but I'm not into this. Right. So I guess that's another thing, right? Is you have to be, I imagine if you've got a really good working relationship with your employees and owners, that you can just be like, hey, make sure you tell me if you're not into this, like totally fine. Like, you know, if that's there, that's probably a different story.
Yes. And I have a good example of that actually. There's a gal who worked at Belmont Station. She knew what I did for work, and she had kind of volunteered to run the social media for Belmont Station and didn't have a lot of experience besides just posting photos every day on her personal accounts. And so I gave her a talk about strategizing, coming up with topics that they could repeat every week, just some like real basic marketing strategy ideas. And she was so, so thankful for the advice, and I watched her use it and get better at it as she understood it. And then I got to hear a little bit of her pain points on it, where she's like, well, I still have to be a bartender. I can't just focus on this my whole day. And that's difficult because, like you said, she had an interest in it and wanted to learn more, but she was almost shackled in a way. So, I was happy that they had someone focusing on that, but they could only do so much.
Right.
And that's where hiring someone with experience comes in, which is the better option. I know it's not as cheap to hire somebody who has a higher skill level with more experience, but you're more likely to get a higher quality of work. You might have someone that has a better knowledge of your industry in general, not just marketing, but they will understand all of marketing's best practices and be able to execute them. And that's extremely valuable. You don't have to teach them how to do those things. They just have to learn your business and they're good to go.
Yeah, hit the ground running.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that those relationships get better more quickly. For example, our friend Jeremy, who works for a couple breweries, his work has changed over the years, but I think as time goes on, those relationships get better and better, and his work is just dialed in even more. So I think that's a great example of, I guess he's kind of in-house for XML.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Right. So,
yeah, I guess you're able to kind of picking back on what we were just talking about, if you're not into it, you know, if you've hired somebody who's experienced and that's their jam, you know, that's what they love, then yeah, if they have an opportunity to flourish, then they'll just get better at what they do. And they'll also get to know the brand better and help develop the brand and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say that was where my sweet spot kind of was for myself. That's what I attained to get through the work that I was doing for myself, was I want to work in-house for a brewery so that I can have that close connection and do higher quality work for them instead of spreading myself thin, working for a lot of multiple, I guess that's the same thing, working for multiple clients and maybe the work not being as good.
Mm-hmm.
But, go ahead.
Yeah, for sure. So I was just curious, have you seen breweries? I guess if you're like a brewery that's not able to bring somebody on full time, have you seen any breweries out there doing part-time marketing positions? I'd imagine like someone like myself, or I think even our friend Jeremy, you just mentioned, who is also a designer. I think he started part-time, but then that allowed him to still do freelance work or whatever. So that seemed like that could be possibly a good setup for a smaller size brewery to get somebody in kind of on staff, you know, if that's how you want to frame it. So that's a good option.
It's kind of a mixed bag in terms of successful part-time. I've seen a lot of PR people work part-time and their sole focus is doing press releases and maybe coordinating events. I don't often see part-time marketing people.
Okay.
I'd say it depends on the size of the business, but larger breweries specifically have the money to hire one person, maybe a team of people. Medium-sized breweries might have a person full-time, and then small breweries tend to do it themselves.
Yeah, totally makes sense.
I don't think that, I mean, as common as contract and freelance work is now for graphic designers specifically, I don't think that the beer industry is that savvy to that. So they might not be looking for it.
Right, right. Gotcha. Okay. Well, that's, I think, actually a good segue then, I think, because the next thing we'd be talking about then, it would be the option to hire out, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, let's just jump into talking about that a bit.
I'd say hiring out is important. It's just as important as interviewing an employee that you're going to work with every day. Anyone that you hire out is going to have a certain personality, and you want to make sure that your personality meshes well. And you're looking for a lot of different things here. And probably the most important in the beer industry is looking for, do your personalities match? Are you going to have the same sense of humor, idea of how your product should be presented? You're going to be working with this person a lot, and they're not going to be with you every day. So you have to make sure that you get along really well. So it's relationship building, and hopefully you're hiring somebody that is local so that they understand your industry and maybe have seen your product, maybe. Have you noticed that you get different results when you work for companies locally versus out of state?
Personally, I think since the craft beer like communities, I mean, of course it's going to be different, like kind of different trends to a certain degree, or slightly different cultures. I feel like kind of from a branding and design perspective, I feel like there's a lot of similarities, even though that, you know, going from place to place. So I think the end result, I think as long as you have the same goal and you get there, right? Like, I think it's going to work well in a different markets if you're working with clients that are in other states or countries. But I think that the benefit of working with somebody close is that you're more in tune with that scene, and like maybe the other products out there. I mean, you might be more familiar with like the breweries are putting out cans and what those look like and how they created their packaging, package branding, or even just kind of what that local scene's into. And then of course there's the added benefit, like, you know, kind of we're talking about being able to work directly one-on-one with like the owner or with, you know, the person that's in charge of marketing and branding. It's just nice, right? Cause you get a chance to like see their environment and how, you know, how they work and what gels well. And then also like communication in real time can then make that, just go more smoothly. Right. So that's, totally. That's for sure. Yeah.
Nice. I know that you get a lot of brewery clients, but, I'm guessing that you work with some other companies that aren't beer related.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. In my, I still do have one or two clients that are not in the beer space. And of course, my background is working at a marketing agency where I've worked with all sorts of different brands, local businesses, and also like national brands like JM Smucker's or well, they owned some juice companies that were based in Chico, California, like Knudsen, like RW Knudsen. And then they owned a couple other ones that were more kind of like the organic brands that were, and that's what was fun to do for them. But, nice. So yeah, I definitely have experience working with folks out of the beer in market. Yeah.
Okay. So what I've seen, some breweries do here in Portland, is when they do hire out somebody, they often might not know who to look for. Like, you and I have the benefit of knowing who is doing marketing here in Portland, but some breweries might not be up to speed on that. I mean, they have a network of friends they could go to, but I've seen it happen more than once where breweries will hire a general marketer who doesn't necessarily understand the beer industry fully. And this can be a little tricky because you can really fail to connect with the people who love the beer industry in this city specifically. And I'm guessing this culture phenomenon happens everywhere in the United States, especially with beer. And so you kind of take a risk hiring someone who is not directly related to your industry. And while I know not everyone has that that luxury, it certainly does help. And I mean, here we have a variety of sizes of agencies in Portland. There are so many, and some of them do some really fantastic work with usually the bigger breweries. But what happens with the smaller guys?
Right.
They have a chance to hire out, and they can either hire this individual or contractor or someone who runs a small business, or they can hire a bigger agency. I've seen smaller breweries try to work with a bigger agency, and I don't know where the disconnect is, honestly, if it's with the agency not understanding how small the brewery is, or the brewery having too big of ambition by hiring an agency. So once in a while, they make a good logo, they make a good brand, you know, all the assets related to that, but then they hand it over to the small brewery and they don't know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. So huge risks there.
Yeah.
Even if they are local, which
exactly,
I mean, you've got a lot of good talent in cities like Portland, and, you know, having a little bit of a different look, different style with a different kind of agency that's not beer related could give you a leg up in a market that's very saturated. But at the same time, they might not know what they're talking about at all.
Right. I think that takes the brewery having a, like, knowing that, right? And like having some sort of direction in that when they do pull in somebody that maybe has experience doing other branding for other, because it is good to get that fresh perspective sometimes. But I think it would, if they had that vision, like, okay, we know you're different, you don't know the beer culture as much as we do, but this is why we think you're a strong fit, or like maybe can help us get in this different direction. And then follow that. I think part of the problem, like you're mentioning, on people not knowing the industry, or like hiring, or I guess hiring a bigger agency than they maybe are ready for, or whatever, is that then, maybe they also don't have the budget, and they're trying to do bigger things. And with the, you know, and this is totally understandable, because like maybe they don't have a designer on staff, you know, like most smaller breweries and medium-sized breweries don't. So then it's a matter of, are you capable of maintaining that brand that once is done? And then sometimes if you, and I'm sure you might be getting to this, but if you hire a big agency and you don't have the right money, then you probably end up picking like the most bare bones, like package or brand identity that you're able to afford, which then doesn't leave you with a whole lot to work with when you're done. I mean, it's nice. It might be really awesome for what was completed, but you might just have like a couple versions of a logo and like the most basic brand guideline, you know, to work with or something.
And then not know how to use it, not know how to put it on your website, translate it everywhere. Yeah, that's a risk for sure. I guess I have two different like segments to talk about, because I mentioned that there's the individual that you could hire out, and then there's the agency. And we were just talking about agencies, but I think if you are going to hire out, hiring an individual or a contractor, especially one that understands your industry, is exactly what you should do. Like, no question. this type of work, you know, you're very familiar with this. You can dedicate a good chunk of your time to this client, this customer of yours, and they get the attention that they deserve. They'll feel really good about that. You have lots of flexibility as a company and as an individual. So if something comes up and they need to work on it immediately, maybe they have the bandwidth to do that. But also, maybe a con in this area is that maybe your freelancer or contractor doesn't have time they're a little booked up and you decide to handle this unexpected problem in-house. It can cause some brand disconnect. I've seen this happen. And it usually comes in the form of things that like the restaurant manager might need if you have a pub. And it's a simple thing like menu design that, oh, we forgot to do the specials menu. And then they start printing something out and you come in as a designer and you're like, what have you done while I was gone? Like, yeah. You know that every piece of this is important for someone coming into this place and you want to put your best foot forward. And that stuff happens all the time. It's a very real thing that,
yeah,
especially with a restaurant portion of a brewery, like you just can't help it. It's just going to happen. Sometimes the menu changes every day. You don't know. Mm-hmm. So those are, they don't have to be nightmare. They don't have to be nightmare situations, but it's just something to keep in mind that your in-house staff will try to help, even if they are not skilled in the area that they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's okay.
Yeah, so I guess it's something to be aware of working with like an individual contractor is that, is it that relationship's there and you know expectations around how quickly you can work together and that kind of stuff. You know, I think that's, communication is huge. Like, I've, you know, I always make sure I try to tell my clients that, like, hey, I'm going to be gone for a few days. So, you know, be ready for that. Yeah.
That's really smart of you.
Yeah. Well, thanks. But I mean, that's, you know, if individuals get stretched too thin, you know, it's really easy to be feast. It could be feast or famine, you know, where you've got an influx of projects and, you know, that can happen. I imagine that if that happens too much, then that relationship will be strained and then, you might have to reassess the situation. Right. Mm-hmm. But, that is definitely one negative to, you know, working with an individual, but mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if you have the communication there, I think it works out good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's almost, I don't know, when I worked this way with small to medium sized breweries, I had a lot of fun going and visiting them. Like once a week, I'd go and sit at the bar and just get a taste of the working in-house vibe. But, you know, I was just dipping my toes in, so I didn't have to be there all the time. I didn't have to do some of those things that the busy work, you know, I could just drop in, have my fun, get what I needed, and leave.
Yeah.
Great.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I think something I noticed that I didn't necessarily like in that situation was that maybe my role wasn't completely well defined with the internal team that was working at a brewery. Say like the owners hire you for a certain reason and you walk in for your first day and people look at you like, who are you? What are you doing here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What happened? And so not only do you have to kind of recuperate from that initial shock of, oh, not everyone may have been on board with this decision, but you have to prove your worth pretty quickly. And it can be a little awkward, but it can be overcome.
Right. Yeah.
Just funny things. And I kind of chalk that up to people in the beer industry not understanding marketing. And some of them are extremely busy and run multiple locations and may have just forgotten. So,
right.
Try to give people the benefit of the doubt.
For sure. Yeah, that could be challenging. Somebody's super busy and wearing, multiple hats and just like nonstop. Yeah, to kind of the minutiae of the day-to-day, for sure.
Mm-hmm. I think if I was going to give a piece of advice to a company who was hiring an individual, I would say make sure that you integrate them with the team and that everyone understands who's doing what responsibilities go to which person. Because I've had trouble with that at a place or two where the ownership didn't quite communicate well enough and the work was getting done twice. And that's always annoying.
Ooh.
So yes, make sure good communication, I would say.
Right. So making sure that this individual, this contractor, that Yeah, they just know what, well, I guess almost even more so or equally so for their staff. Yeah, mm-hmm. they know who's doing what. And yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, like I worked with a lot of front of house staff just, you know, asking for help with, hey, can you pour me a beer? Can you, you know, if you're not busy, I need someone to help me stage something. And if they didn't know who I was, it was extremely awkward.
Oh, yeah.
It was like I tried to introduce myself to most people, but you have shift changes and you might never see someone. So
they're like, wait, I thought I was doing marketing. What the hell?
Surprise.
Uh-oh. Sorry.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Communicate. Very important. That's about all I had to talk about with individuals, unless you had some other experiences that you might want to share related to that kind of work.
Yeah. I mean, I think the only thing, like, I think we pretty much covered it pretty well. I think, you know, some of the points we've touched on is that, you know, you do get the ability to, it's kind of almost, it can almost be like having somebody on staff, you know, in that like you can get to know them really well, like they can dedicate, you know, a lot of time to you, and get to be, yeah, if you're local, they get to be in your space and kind of get your culture and all that. So right, I think especially if you're looking for that kind of relationship, then that's a great way to go for sure. And yeah, there's, you know, working with an agency, which I'm sure we'll talk a bit about, yeah, it's a whole different ball game. You're working with multiple people, project managers and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So
I think you said a really key word right there, yeah, too. You're working with an agency. They're not working for you. They're working with you.
Mm.
It's a very different relationship.
Yeah. That's a great point. Yeah. Cool. So yeah, let's jump into a bit about like maybe some of the like points on working with an agency. I think we mentioned some ways that a brewery might have ambitions that maybe they're not ready for. So I think mm-hmm. that's something to keep an eye on, right? Is it, mm-hmm. Don't stretch yourself too thin on budget or just reaching up to work with some big agency. So I think that's very important. But what about some other points in regards to like working with an agency?
Well, you touched on money just then. How you pay an agency is completely different. It's not someone's salary. It's a lot of the time project-based. And that's something that you have to really talk about before you start working with them, is what you need, what kind of deliverables you're expecting. And this all typically goes into your paperwork. You have a lot more paperwork with agencies. Having worked for myself, I have my own paperwork, but it's fairly simple as an individual. But when you work with an agency, you have to cross all the T's and dot all the I's, and sometimes there's a lot of legalese put in there, like who owns your artwork. These are there's a lot of things to consider and a lot of things to talk about with an agency before you sign a contract with them. It's also a relationship, just like working with an individual, and I think it's important to kind of scout out agencies in the same way. You want to find someone that has a similar mindset as you. You can get along with them really well because you're still going to be communicating with them. Your communication is just going to look a little different. I think if they're local, that'll be easier. You might have more of a rapport. You can actually meet up with them in person. But if they're not local, you're kind of dealing with how do you communicate with them? Which time zone are they in? How easy is it to get a hold of them? And all of that stuff is important depending on what you need. I would say most people think that working with an agency is more expensive, but it doesn't have to be. Mm. I think because a lot of the time it can be project-based, you can work with a small project within a big agency and maybe not pay a lot of money. But there's also different size agencies. You know, you could totally be working with a small, newer agency who's looking for clients and you could get a really great deal on something.
Mm, mm-hmm.
Or you could work with Wine and Kennedy and who knows what you're going to pay.
Yeah. Oh, right. No, that's funny that you bring up that point, is because then I've seen, and this could go well, but it can also go bad, is that there's agencies that want to get like the cool portfolio projects, and maybe they want to get their foot into like the beer scene. And so I guess they don't have that experience. So yeah, be aware of that. Like, you know, if they've got one or two beer things in their portfolio, then you might feel a little bit more comforted that they have some experience. But I guess you could maybe beware a little bit if they're throwing a low ball price at you. They don't have that experience that they might be trying to court you because they want to get something cool in their portfolio, which could, you know, like I said, it could be good, it could be bad. Who knows?
That's very true. I don't want to name names because I don't want to get anyone in trouble, but it's sure. just an observation of mine. But there was an agency, a smaller one in Southeast Portland that was close to a brewery. And because they went to that brewery all the time, they kind of courted them into the idea of doing some labels for them.
Mm-hmm.
And these labels were amazing. And through this connection, I actually got to talk with them, with this agency. And they ended up doing some work for me, a pro bono project for something I'm working on. And they didn't want payment. They just asked for connections. They said, we love doing beer labels. We would love to do more. And if we come to you for help, we'd love for you to like maybe just start a conversation for us, introduce us to someone, you know, recommend us.
Hey, yeah. I know you know some good people.
Yeah, and I think that was probably the first time anyone had asked me that. And, you know, I don't think we've had an opportunity to come up where they needed it yet. And I'm kind of nervous waiting if they're like, hey, can you get us a conversation with that person? just kind of a funny experience. But you're totally right about agencies wanting to have those cool projects. And I could see that on this agency's faces, that they were like, we want more of the beer industry because it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
So you do have to look out for that. The agency that I worked for a few years ago, we worked mostly with staffing companies, and staffing companies throughout the nation did not understand what anything should cost.
Huh. Okay.
So they got hosed.
Right.
Unfortunate. I never dealt with any of the negotiations, so I never saw that until later, but I was kind of shocked at how much they were charging people. And I just kind of assumed, like, I think people get this in their heads, is that agencies are expensive for those reasons. And a lot of the time when you cancel with an agency, it's because of cost. so that's something to look into when you're looking for an agency, is maybe ask people around you if they understand what that stuff costs if you don't know yourself, just so that you're not getting suckered into something.
Right. Yeah. And I think one of the points you made here on is that the style of work that you're going after, right? Because
totally.
I don't know, don't expect, at least, because you might find individuals like contractors or freelancers or agencies that have a very specific style, and that might be something you're wanting to bring to your brand, so that's good. But right, with the situation, I know there's a lot of like marketing agencies that are just super generic. They work for any brand or any kind of like business industry, and so they may have like nothing close to what the craft beer culture is like. And so I would just say, beware of that. Like, don't try to fit somebody into the mold if they're not there. You know, or just don't expect those kind of results in those cases.
Yeah. Agencies are interesting in that way, where sometimes they are really proud of their style, and sometimes they're proud of the fact that they can work for anyone and make your brand look amazing no matter what it is. And those projects will all be different. So that's something you have to look for. I would say in general, working with an agency, you get a higher quality of work. And that's for multiple reasons. I'd say the number one is that they have a bigger staff usually, and they've got more creative power. Mm-hmm. Lots of talented people work at agencies, and they're very much an incubator. Those creative, talented people just vibe off of each other and only get more creative and amazing.
Yeah.
So it's a really cool environment, and they can usually do a lot of awesome things for you. I know that Upright started working with an agency last year, and I kind of noticed that they had a learning curve with working with them. Upright gave them a chance to have the learning curve.
Gotcha. But
I could tell that the things that they were posting content wise were a little uneducated when it came to beer.
Mm.
So yeah, that just as a side note, I guess.
Yeah. Right.
For agency work.
Yeah. Well, I think it's fairly easy. Like you're saying, once you're in the beer culture, like it's really easy to see a brand that's hiring out, you know, unless they're doing mm-hmm. it well, right? So yeah. That's another thing, is that if you want to be seen as, like, I don't know. I feel like if everyone in the beer culture, everyone is a beer drinker, they see this brand that's like doing this like weird, not weird, but just social posts that don't seem like they fit in, then all of a sudden they're like, whoa, what are they doing? Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure you probably want to be able to kind of self fit in with everything and not seem like it's, what the heck are they doing? So
mm-hmm. Yeah, because there's like an industry standard, there's creativity within the industry, and then there's those that just take a huge step out of it. Mm-hmm. Step out of that box.
Yeah.
Something with having like more staff, higher quality work, they also have more bandwidth for doing larger projects and more creative projects that you as a company might not be able to handle on your own, or an individual might not be able to handle. I think that's probably the number one benefit of an agency, is just the breadth of content that they can put out for you.
Absolutely.
Oh man, I can't tell you how many people are like, do you know how to do video? And I'm like,
yeah,
no.
not really. Yeah.
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 And those video folks are very talented. So.
Yeah. It's a good skill, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think, and I think also the idea of being able to just like have somebody focus on it, especially if it's a bigger project, because I mean, let's face it, I know I have projects that I want to dedicate more time to, but I'm working on client projects and then I haven't put as much attention to it as I'd like.
Mm-hmm.
And I know being a business owner, you're doing a bunch of different things, or even if you're like a marketing person at a brewery, you're probably doing a ton of things. So sometimes if it's a bigger project, then yeah, like hiring an agency or an individual, yeah, that's really going to help, because they're going to be dedicated to that. So that seems mm-hmm. like a great benefit there. Yeah. Cool. Well, that's, thanks for running through those. I think that's all like super good to know about. Well, we have a few more minutes left here. Like, I'd love to kind of talk a bit about your experience on social.
Okay.
As we kind of talked about at the very beginning, just a little bit in that, like, I came to know you a bit through social media. So, and I think you've kind of adopted a little bit of the idea of being kind of an influencer. I know that's can be kind of a touchy, a touchy word to say, like, you know, that I'm an influencer or whatever. But I think there's also when it's done well, I think it's great. So, what's your experience? Yeah, I mean, what's your experience been like helping promote breweries and through your like, because like, you know, you said you're always, you know, you've out and about, you're visiting breweries, you're mm-hmm. going to all the different beer events and stuff. I mean, how's that experience been for you just overall, and any of the kind of lessons learned there?
Well, I think when I first started doing it, I would not have called myself an influence marketer. Right. I don't even think I fully understood what that was. It was just becoming popular, I guess. And that was 2016. And, you know, after that, it just kind of took off. And I kind of had this idea in my head of what I wanted to post about. And I don't think I was really looking for anyone to latch on super quickly. I knew I wanted to work for myself and I needed to understand the beer industry better. And so I used my blog and my social as a step to get there. But then I was discovered by Men's Health, and I was put on this list that they had that was 30 female beer lovers to follow on Instagram. Mm. And I jumped like 700 followers. I went from 100 to 700 in a day.
Oh, nice.
I had to decide what to do with that.
Yeah.
It was a little weird, actually, because, you know, that's something that you hope for is to get a little notoriety, but it just kind of happened thanks to Men's Health. So I kind of used that as a jumping off place and just dove in. And I don't think people really understood what I was doing at first, especially in the beer industry, because they're a little behind when it comes to modern marketing. And they were just like, who is this girl?
it's everywhere.
Yeah. I've been to quite a few media events over the years, and some of them are geared towards beer, some towards beverage in general, some towards food and beverage. And I would say there are many, many, many more influence marketers in food and beverage in general and spirits. Oh, yeah. And so beer, they didn't know what to do with me.
Yeah.
People in the industry and media, especially. So it basically just took me just going out, just showing up and showing that I was dedicated, showing that I had enthusiasm, that I wasn't just some person out to take advantage of the kind people in the beer industry, but I kind of had to prove myself that I wasn't going away, for one, which you kind of see a cycle of people doing influence marketing. Just, it kind of depends on their life. Things come up, they drop out of it. You never know. But when you go to media events over and over again for several years, you start to see the same people. Mm-hmm. You start to appreciate those that are still around. And everyone's kind of growing and changing as they go along, whether it be small changes or big changes. And for me, my biggest thing was education, I would say. Mm. So I kept my eyes and ears open, and I just showed up. And eventually people started to accept me a little bit more within the industry. But it took a while. I think it took like at least a year of me plugging along. And then year two was very exciting, was very fast paced. I'd say I felt really disappointed when I couldn't do something for someone, where I'd get a lot of requests of, hey, can you come promote our beer? Can you come promote our event? We'll get you in for free. We'll give you free beer. And as awesome as that was, and it was very special, I felt very thankful. I was still trying to support myself financially.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it didn't go so well in that regard. I think since influence marketing was so new, or maybe a newer concept in the beer industry, they had a harder time like getting on board with paying for it.
Mm-hmm.
And in other industries, influence marketing is something that's just a no-brainer. Like, they have budgets at companies for influence marketers, and they're happy to pay you X amount of dollars depending on your followers and how much engagement you have. And the only thing that you have to do is put together a media kit, and this kind of proves your worth. And you put all these stats on your media kit, talk about what you'll get if you pay me. And I made one of those, and still no one wanted to pay me.
Oh, it was
sad. It was disappointing, but I kind of shifted at a point to looking for social media clients that I was working for on my own that would be a little more solid. And I focused on that. So my influence marketing became more of my hobby than it was my job. So I was less disappointed when I wasn't getting anything out of it financially, but I'd say in general that didn't bother me too much, because I started to become friends with people and care about them, and I understood why they didn't want to pay for certain things and what marketing efforts actually work for them. You know, influence marketing speaks to a certain group of people on the internet, and I'm focused very locally, which is awesome, but a lot of influence marketers are not necessarily local focused.
Mm.
So you get a lot of generalists. It's probably the best way I can explain it.
Yeah, totally. Well, yeah, I was just going to say that, well, one of my thoughts is that it's a challenging thing. And I think we've been talking about the culture this whole time. And then if you don't fit it, then you don't fit it. But, mm-hmm. And that's, I think, very much so for influence marketing, because, you know, some, you know, a soccer mom blogger, like that blogs like recipes or something, she could post about what some toothpaste or something, and the toothpaste company can hire her as an influence, you know, personality. But that's not the case in beer. It's like, so yeah, it's like, it's gotta be like a really good fit, and it's gotta make sense, you know, and it's gotta be fit in well, and like, you being local, like you said, I think that's really important.
Yeah, give me bonus points here in the local industry. They loved it. They loved my dedication to Oregon and Portland craft beer.
Yeah. Well, if you don't mind, you can wrap up here with just like, I think everything that's on everybody's mind right now is the, you know, COVID-19 coronavirus fun. I just love to see, because I'm sure you follow a lot of breweries, and your, you know, social media and marketing is your jam. So just out of curiosity, what are you seeing out there that folks are doing that you think are keeping that interest going in their brands, and they're even getting sales, you know, for people doing delivery or people doing takeout, just anything you think you've seen that's comes to mind that's been working out there?
Well, I think, you know, everything happened so quickly that a lot of people had to be very reactionary with what they were saying. And there's been so much negative news that just right off the bat, any brand that is talking about something positive, they get my vote immediately.
Yeah. That's a good point. It's a good point to be positive, because it's people, I feel like, are such like, oh, they're in this little like somewhat of a cloud, you know? And so, yeah. So why not keep that fun, keep that spirit there.
And I actually ordered beer to be delivered from Bearlick last week. And I had so much fun when they showed up to my house in the Bearlick truck and, you know, walked up to my front steps and just left the beer there and walked away. And I was just like, hi, thank you so much. Like,
yeah.
It was a bright spot. And, you know, anyone that's been posting stories about these deliveries, they've been sharing them. And it's super fun to like see you or your friends on this business page just having a blast during this time that no one's really smiling. So. Yeah, anything that relates to the positive, making it fun. Anything that's informational is helpful. I think right off the bat, everyone was kind of like, ah, we're open, or ah, we're not open.
Yeah.
Which is helpful. And especially like, I don't know, I've been walking around my neighborhood going, oh, can I go pick up beer from this place? And I'm going to go look at their social media first, because I assume that it's going to be the most up-to-date thing. So informational, positive, that's super great.
Yeah.
In terms of strategy, I saw something interesting the other day about Deschutes, and sadly Deschutes has had to lay off quite a few people, but they decided not to post anything for at least a week, I want to say. Maybe it was even 2 weeks. But they chose to do that, I read, because they wanted to be sensitive to the situation, and they didn't want to say anything bad or wrong or insensitive. So they just decided to say nothing.
Yeah.
That was really interesting to me.
Yeah. I spoke with another larger beer company. And they did the same thing. They're like, we're just not going to do anything for a little bit. And I don't know about where they're at now, but that was just like, they just didn't want to touch anything. They just wanted to kind of like, let's see how things were going to unfold before they came back onto communications, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's super smart. I kind of worried for the places that were posting things so quickly that it's kind of adding to the fear and uneasiness that's happening around us. You know, they're trying to be informational. They're trying to reassure everyone that, you know, we'll still be here.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're like seeing everyone do that, and it for me, it upped my anxiety quite a bit.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you don't need more of that. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like the ones that I've seen that have been really successful, are the ones that are, you know, communicating like what they're doing behind the scenes, you know, a lot of them are being like, this is how we're sanitizing things, or, you know, this is what's available. This is how you can get it. This is how we're going to sell it to you. And then the deliveries, you know, I think I really appreciate you saying like the kind of like keep it more gleeful or gleeful. Is that a word? Glee?
Let's make it a word.
Full of glee, gleefully posting stuff that's like, yeah, like people delivering beer and people opening their door and picking it. They're like, oh my gosh, hi, yay, it's somebody else. Mm-hmm. And just showing those deliveries and how those work. I think that's been huge. Yeah.
I think a trend that we have started to see this last week in sales numbers, as nerdy as that is, because that relates to my current job, people right now are going for brands that they trust. And trust is a huge word right now. It's safe. It's reassuring. And so I think we're going to see a continuation of people going for brands that they know and love. And so if brands that they know and love are reaffirming those feelings by being thankful, grateful, we're all in this together kind of general statement, I think that'll continue to go well for breweries as this goes on.
Yes. Yeah, that makes total sense. I think that's a good one. I had mentioned, I think, recently in an email I sent out to my newsletter or as a blog article, but just talking about that. Yeah, I go for the brands that I'm comfortable and I know with, you know. So that's gonna carry weight. I was just talking about that in the relating to when I go to the store to buy something off the shelf, but. Right now, I think that also carries a lot of weight in that you might have some more trust in how they operate, you know, or that you might feel more comfortable that they're going to do their best to be sanitary and have the best practices. So that's a great point.
Yeah, and I think breweries do a good job of showing who works there too. And right. So if you get to see these behind the scenes things with, hey, we got to hire somebody back because you guys have supported us. Your buddy Dave or whatever his name is got to come back to work. We're all so excited. We all love him and we know you do too. That just makes my heart explode.
Yeah, right now it is. It's like, oh, yay, it is. Yeah. Especially in a small community. You're like, oh, yes, you got somebody back. That's great.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah. Great. I think... Holly, let's let people know where they can find you. We'll kind of wrap up there. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, of course. It's so nice to have a chat with you.
Yeah, it's been nice to get off the daily grind and just talk beer.
Yes. You can find my blog at pdxbeergirl.com, and my social media handles are the same thing at pdxbeergirl on Instagram, Facebook, and Untappd. But Untappd is a little different because somebody stole PDX Beer Girl.
What? Stole it?
I don't know. Maybe they had it first. I don't know who it is. I will come find you. But yeah. I had to change it to PTX. So I spelled out PD.
Okay. Yeah.
That's just that a nerdy works. Side note.
Right. God damn it. Untappd. Of course Untappd. Right.
Yeah.
Well, great. Okay. Well, let's keep an eye on things and see how we're going with all the social world. I'm sure we'll be in touch and we'll see each other around. And I'd love to have you back on again sometime.
I would love to.
All right. Thanks again, Holly.
Yeah, you're welcome. Bye.
Thanks for checking out Branding Brews. My name is Ryan, your host, and also the owner of Craft Brew Creative. With over 15 years of experience in branding and design, I am able to bring my knowledge not only to this show, but to great clients that make great beer. From the essentials like websites, labels, tap handles and sales sheets, to merchandise and vehicle wraps, Craft Brew Creative would love to help develop a cohesive and strong brand for your brewery. Craft Brew Creative thrives on delivering value through a collaborative, fun, and interactive design process. Whether you're an existing brewery or a brewery in planning, Craft Brew Creative will be a valuable partner to your team. If you are in need of any design or marketing services,
I would love to get in touch. Head on over to craftbrewcreative.com for more information, or just feel free to email me, Ryan@craftbrewcreative.com.